You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage no matter where it is. Some people find that they are working to save their marriage from the first start of their marriage, not because the marriage is in trouble, but because they want to avoid it. Other people find themselves at the brink of disaster and are working to try to figure out how to pull their marriage back from that. Well, I'm here to help you either way. I'm here to help you understand what marriage is about and what to do in the midst of a crisis. Now, today is an interesting piece because I actually did an extended training about this with my virtual coaching program. But as I was talking about it, I realized that this was really something that haunts us all. And that's the idea that we all play games, that we all have hidden agendas, and that we all have ulterior motives. Now, that's a typical piece. The danger is when it invades us, when it invades our marriage, and it particularly is dangerous when it invades a troubled marriage. I read a book years ago that really talked about, it was a science fiction book and presented a lot of science, but was a fictional account of the fact that there was this interaction between Cro-Magnons and humans and how that happened and what happened to the kind of the competitors for humanity, for humans, to be the dominant species, the Cro-Magnons. And what happened in this particular book was the Cro-Magnons lost out, and they lost out for one simple reason. They were not capable of something that humans were capable of. And that one piece was that humans were capable of lying, of not being honest, of having something else in their mind, of really being different, of acting, having something in their head behind what they were saying. And this so threw off the Cro-Magnons that they lost the war, right? They lost the battle of dominance. And I began to think about how true that is, that one of those human pieces, truly human pieces, is our capacity for dishonesty, our capacity of having those hidden agendas. You know, I spent the week on vacation and was spending a lot of time with my dog. You know, my dog and I was trying to teach my dog to paddleboard and, actually to ride on the paddleboard with me. And in the midst of training him, I realized, you know, my dog was just what my dog was. What my dog was doing was just what he appeared to be doing. There was no hidden agenda to him. If he didn't want to be on the board, he jumped off. And he wasn't trying to, try to prove me wrong or toss me off the board or anything else. It was, I want to get in the water. And so many times we watch other people and wonder, what's behind the scenes? You know, what's going on behind the scenes? Now, there's always a certain caution. And if you've been watching the media, you probably have some of those feelings of caution. You know, one of the things I long ago realized was that the news, the TV shows that show the news, were really not showing me true news, true current events. They were showing me things that would keep me watching. They were showing me situations that would keep me watching the TV because the TV was trying to sell ad space. They weren't there to educate me. They weren't there to enlighten me. They were really there to have ads shown to me. And that's where they make their money. Now, sometimes they did show news, right? And I'm not saying that everything they showed was a lie, but I would say that everything they showed was, well, purposely placed there in order to keep my eyes on the TV. And all the time, I would realize that there was something up, right? There's something not quite right about that because there's a hidden agenda. They weren't being straightforward. They weren't showing me all the news. You know, there's that old saying in the news, if it bleeds, it leads. And that's because that's what our eyeballs like to watch. And we all have these hidden agendas. Way back in 1964, which was pretty early in the whole self-help, self-psychology movement, Eric Byrne wrote a book, Games People Play. And what Eric Byrne was pointing to is the fact that when there are transactions, if we're not doing what he termed adult to adult, which means, you know, that I'm responsible and you're responsible and we're communicating back and forth, assuming responsibility for our own lives, then every other transaction has a game to it. I'm getting something out of the game that's being played. There was something hidden about what was being said. And so somebody might play the game where they're helpless. They need some help. And that was a way of getting the other person to step in, even though the person who was playing the helpless game might be completely capable of dealing with their own lives. There are lots of games that we play, lots of these hidden agendas that we have. And so the problem is that we can't get rid of all of them, but we need to be aware of them. You see, what happens is that our actions appear in one direction, but they're really a part of a chess game that sometimes we're only partly aware of ourselves, that we're not fully aware that we're playing this chess game where we're trying to outmaneuver the other people to get what we want. Now, that might work really well in a sales situation. It might work really well in if you're an attorney or a politician or lots of other places in life. But in marriage, it tends to be fairly destructive. Because when the spouse is feeling this sense that there's something going on, there's a transaction going on, there's a game that's going on, there's a certain feel that happens. A certain mistrust that builds, and it's particularly true when people are unwilling to be direct and open. See, these hidden agendas are always transactional. They are something like, I blank, you fill in the blank, so that you blank. You know, what action do you want? I'll be nice to you so that I get what I want, right? Or I will loan you money so that I can control your life. Or I will let you live here so that I get some benefits from that. There are all of these transactional pieces that we live, and there are always two pieces to it. I blank so that you blank, which is different than I blank, right? I love you, period. I show you love, period. Not with any expectation. The danger is when that expectation is deeper and deeper buried. When couples are open about that, you know, I'll do this and you do that. I do the yard work and you do the laundry, right? That's a transaction. But if both people agree to it and it's direct, that's okay. The problem is when it becomes hidden, because when it's hidden, it becomes very conditional. There's a conditional love to it. I'll rub your back if I get something else later on, right? And this goes so far back in our own life experiences that sometimes it becomes something that's automatic for us. We don't even notice we're having this transactional piece. So the dangers of it, one, it is conditional. It's not just love, it's conditional love. I'll do this for you so that you'll do this for me. It's also manipulation, because usually we don't state that. We do it with the expectation of what's going to be on the backside, and probably even get upset when we don't get what we want, even though we haven't said what we wanted. That's manipulation. Also, it's indirect. Instead of saying, I want this, I need this, this is important to me, we act in ways that get us where we want to get. And it's so subtle. Maybe you go out of your way to do this because you want to do that down the road, right? Hey, I'll watch the kids tonight so you can go do your thing. And then two nights later to say, hey, I watched the kids the other night. You owe me. Now I get to go do what I want to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, how about if I watch the kids on Wednesday night and you watch them on Friday nights and each of us get to go do our thing? That's direct. That's open. That's clear. And the transaction is on the table. The danger is that when we play the game, we don't say what we're up to. But we get that, you know, it's kind of like the mobster thing where you owe me now, right? I give you that, I help you out a little bit, and then you owe me, and then I have you. And that's where the transactions get to be a problem. That's where the hidden agendas get to be a problem, because they're hidden. They're not open. They're not on the table. They're not open for negotiation or discussion. You carry them out, and then the other person doesn't even know that they've gotten trapped in them until it's too late. And that's the problem. It's always going to feel disingenuous to the other person. It's always going to feel like something's up. You ever had that feeling? You know, that somebody is acting in a certain way towards you, and the whole time you're not sure what it is. You can't quite put your finger on it. You don't know what's happening, but you just feel like something's up. They're not all on the up and up. There's something hidden there. Well, what happens when you feel that? Well, you're a little cautious, right? You're a little more hesitant to just step in. And that's the danger, because it's disingenuous. And because they feel that something's up, they're a little more cautious to be a part of it. What's going on is the BS meter that we all have is going off, but they can't figure out what it is. And so they pull themselves out a little bit. Now imagine that in a crisis situation with a marriage where you're trying to be nice, you're trying to build up points, you're trying to build up connection, you're doing all these things, but you're doing it with a hidden agenda. You're not being direct. You're not being open. You're doing it with a hidden agenda. And so maybe you've read this thing on the internet where you should do reverse psychology. And so what you basically are doing there is agreeing with everything they say on the hopes that it will disarm them. But what there is behind that is a hidden agenda. Well, what happens when they say, hey, I need to file for divorce? And you go, okay, right, sure, go ahead, do that. I agree with you. We need to file for divorce. Well, you're being indirect. You're also being manipulative. And at some point, they know it, or you're going to have to play the game out. You either have to give up and say, I didn't really mean that. I was just trying to get you to slow down. Or somehow you end up where you don't want to be. That's the problem with these hidden agendas. When they're hidden, they're going to be revealed at some point. That's really where it gets down to it. So maybe you do something for somebody, waiting for a little bit on the backside. And when it's time to collect, then they go, oh, that's what that was about. Now I can't trust you. So here you are trying to build trust from a spouse, but all you're really doing is accumulating manipulation points. So when it's time to cash in, you lose out. You might get what you want at that moment, but you may win the battle and lose the war. You may have gotten that little piece, but you've lost a bigger piece. Your honesty, your integrity, your trust. That's much harder to build back up. So when you get yourself in these hidden agendas, when you get yourself into the place where there's an ulterior motive going on, that's when you know you're in trouble. Let me give you an example of this. There is a tool that many people use called the Enneagram. What I like about the Enneagram is that it's kind of a personality indicator on steroids, because it talks about that we all have these different places, these different points, different personality styles that go into our lives. And when we're under stress, we revert to another broken place. But what I really like about this whole idea is that every space in the personality types can have what some people call a redeemed and unredeemed. And I really like that term, a redeemed or unredeemed way of operating. For instance, I come from the helper role. That's obviously I end up in a helping profession, but on the Enneagram, that's where I showed up as the helper, the person who likes to be there helping people in the midst of a crisis. And, you know, that's kind of been my career. Well, as it turns out, there are two different ways a helper can operate. One is to help to show love. So I could be helping people just because I want them to know I care for them and that, you know, that's my task. That's my role in life. It's what I'm good at. That's a way of being the redeemed side. Or I could help so that I am loved, that there's a place within me that doesn't feel loved. And so I try to earn it by helping everyone. And there's the manipulation. I'll do this for you so you'll love me. That's the helper role in an unredeemed level. And that's the danger. The unredeemed level is really me trying to get my need met rather than just giving. And we're built to be givers. We're built to be reaching out, making an impact in the world, not constantly trying to get, but in the effort to give. Now, if everybody were doing that, it would be quite a different place. But when we get caught up in these places where we're trying to feel loved by what we do, that gives us that place where we're manipulating, because it's about getting. It's a bigger piece of that getting. So instead of just simply trying to give, I'm out to get by giving. And so my giving is really an attempt at manipulation of playing a game. And it's just one example where that helper can be either way. So part of what you want to think about is, where are you doing that? If you'll notice in my Save the Marriage system, what I'm working on is really trying to get people to work on connections in genuine ways. My way is really with three C's. It's creating a new path for your relationship, trying to figure out a different way for that relationship to be. And you've got to know what could be there. It's about changing yourself, of looking at yourself and saying, hey, you know what? Where have I kind of fallen apart? Where have I not held up my end? Where have I not moved forward and grown? And it's about creating connection. Now, when you put all those together, I'm talking about doing something with a pretty direct approach. You don't have to say to your spouse, let me tell you, I'm going to save this marriage and here's how I'm going to do it. But what I suggest you do all moves in a very direct, straightforward manner. There's no hidden agenda to connecting with a spouse. There's no hidden agenda to changing yourself. There's no hidden agenda to creating a new path. They are not necessarily things you have to write on a billboard and say, here's what I'm doing. But it's not about subtlety. It's about being honest and direct. It's about being purposeful and trying to reach out and show a new way. That's why I created the system, because what I was seeing was so much manipulation, so much game playing, that I knew there had to be better ways of doing that, and that the way to do it is to understand what you're trying to build. My concept of building a marriage is creating a we, a sense of we're in it together. Now, if you notice that, it suddenly takes away all of the I stuff. And it's really not about all the you stuff. It's not about what am I getting out of this and what can I give to you to get something else. It's how do we create a path where we're in this together, where we are a team, where we have each other's back. That's what happens when there is hidden agenda. It eats away and it becomes an I versus you. It's what are you getting? What am I getting? When you work at it from a we place, we're in this together, the agendas fall away. It becomes a very direct process. My suggestion to you is that you begin to think about where your hidden agendas might be, where your game playing might happen, where you might have ulterior motives that are driving you towards manipulation, towards a dangerous way of operating rather than being direct and open. It doesn't mean you have to wear everything on your sleeve. It doesn't mean you have to keep having the relationship talks. In fact, I would suggest you not. My belief is you can either relate or to talk about the relationship, but you can't do both. You can't be relating in these big relationship talks. They just don't happen that way because it ends up being you versus me. I'm trying to convince you, you're trying to convince me. That becomes manipulation. So we get away from these hidden agendas, these game-playing pieces. We talk adult to adult when we have conversations. We work to show love. We work to show connection. We work to change ourselves because that takes us to a new level. When we find ourselves caught up in the games, the hidden agendas, the ulterior motives, we get trapped. We get trapped in indirectness. And what we end up doing is setting off our spouse's BS meter over and over and over until there's nothing left to get to. Don't make that mistake. Stay away from the game playing. Stay away from the hidden agendas. Don't be manipulative. Let's work from a new way. If you don't have the Save the Marriage system, I would suggest you get that. You can get that at savethemarriage.com. It's a great place to dig in and really understand what's happened in your relationship and what needs to change, how to get there. If you've already got that and you're saying, I still need that more training, and maybe you're just sitting here going, you know what? I play games all the time. I've got these hidden agendas that get me in trouble. Well, that is a piece of the training I did for the virtual coaching program. To find that, you can simply go to savethemarriage.com/virtualcoaching. Virtual coaching, VirtualCoaching, no underlines, no spacing, just straight across all small letters. That will let you know how you can join and get that training along with continued training from me. Get your questions answered. That's a great way of really getting things moving. I always expect that the members of the virtual coaching community already have the Save the Marriage system under their belt. That's kind of a prerequisite. So start there if you haven't yet at savethemarriage.com. Then you can join us in the virtual coaching and you will find yourself moving past these hidden agendas, becoming more genuine and changing yourself in the process, along with creating a new connection with your spouse and creating that new path. I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.